And this morning I would like to continue speaking to you about the importance of the Lord's Day. We started it last week. I was unable to finish it, and so I will finish it this morning. And we are looking at Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19, if you will. Stand when you find your place there in honor of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse number 19, the importance of the Lord's Day. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19, if you will, follow along as I read. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Thank you. You may be seated. May God bless the reading of His Word. Last Sunday morning, I began by stating that in our present day American culture, in our Christian culture, the importance of the Lord's Day has become an antique, and that it has become old-fashioned and outdated. And I believe that it has become unimportant and neglected for three primary reasons. I think it has been neglected that the Lord's Day and the importance of the Lord's Day, Sunday, has become antique because, number one, it has not been sufficiently explained. And number two, because it has not been strongly emphasized. And number three, because it has not been sincerely expected. And I want to change that tradition. I want us to be a church that places importance upon Sundays, the Lord's Day. I want us to be a church that places importance upon gathering together as a church, worshiping the Lord, praising His name, and fellowshipping one with another. And so to ensure that our congregation does not diminish or disregard the great gift, the great blessing that we have in the Lord's Day, I thought it appropriate to speak on this subject. Last week we considered two key truths regarding why we meet on this day. The first day of the week, this day in which we call Sunday. And we saw two main points. We saw the origin of the Lord's Day, and we saw the purpose of the Lord's Day. So by way of review, let me simply go over these for those who were not here and those who are new with us. The origin of the Lord's Day. Again, we saw last week, you got up this morning, you put on your Sunday clothes, you got in your car, you came to this place which we call Calvary Baptist Church. And you came on a Sunday morning, not a Monday morning, and there is a reason for that. And we studied the origin of Sunday, the origin of the Lord's Day, last week through Scripture. And we saw from Scripture that millions have gathered and millions continue to gather on this particular day of the week, because God has ordained this day to be a day, to be an exclusive day in which believers set aside to gather. Gathering on Sundays did not happen by accident. Religious men did not institute it because it was the best day to meet. No, we meet on this day because it was appointed by God. We looked at various texts in the Scriptures that highlighted this truth. And we saw from Acts chapter 20, verse number 7, and the Apostle Paul, and how he speaks to the disciples on the first day of the week. Here is a preacher, and the preacher is preaching, and the preacher is a little long-winded. The Apostle Paul is preaching until midnight. And so we see there's something in this verse, Acts chapter 20. Christians are gathered, a preacher is preaching, and a preacher is preaching long. What better day to do it than on a Sunday? And we see that this is instituted for a reason. We then looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. And this passage speaks of the disciples assembling, and they are giving an offering, and they do it on the first day of the week. So these two passages, we see a few different elements in the early church. We see a gathering. We see the emphasis of God's Word. We have preaching, and we have an offering. There's a reason why we just took an offering. Because we are not dependent upon a foreign organization to support us, we believe that God would have our church to be self-supporting. And so we give to the work of the Lord here in this place because it's found in Scripture. And another reason why we meet on the Lord's Day is because the Apostle John, in Revelation chapter 1, tells us as he is writing about his experience and his visions, these revelations that he has had, that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, he calls it, on Sunday. In Acts chapter 2, we saw further evidence. And this day of Pentecost, the day in which God fulfilled the promise of Joel chapter 2, pouring out His Spirit, the day in which 3,000 people were gloriously converted, this day of Pentecost was on a Sunday, the first day of the week. Now one might scratch their head and one might wonder, well, all these were post-Christ. What about the Sabbath? What about the Old Testament? What about the Jews meeting on Saturdays? What happened to the Sabbath? Well, all these writings, the writings in Acts, writings in 1 Corinthians, the writings in Revelation, happened after the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it signifies that the Jewish Sabbath was buried with Christ, and a new day, the Lord's Day, Sunday, resurrected with Christ. And Jesus Christ resurrected on the first day of the week. And we gather on Sunday. We gather on the Lord's Day because it is the day in which Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We gather because it is the day in which first century Christians met to worship. We gather because it is called the Lord's Day in Revelation chapter 1. And we gather on Sundays because historically, Christians have always met on this day. And simply put, we gather together on Sundays because God has appointed it. That's the origin of the Lord's Day. Then we saw the purpose of the Lord's Day. So we say, okay, God has instituted a day that we meet, but what is the purpose of our meeting? Is our purpose to come together and play bingo and have potlucks? Is our purpose simply to come together and meet new friends? What is our purpose? What does the Word of God tell us to do on the first day of the week? We need to ask the question, why? Why was it appointed by God? Why do we meet? What is the purpose of gathering? We looked at several points. The purpose of why we meet. And Sundays were appointed by God to be a day of worship. We meet together this day for one primary reason, and that reason being because God has set it aside for us to collectively worship God. Now, we worship Him individually every day, don't we? But we come together as a family to worship Him with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we meet today on Sunday because we meet to worship Him. And we worship God by singing praises to His name. We worship God by receiving the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. We worship Him by giving of our tithes and offerings. We worship God and by observing the ordinances. It's on Sundays that we observe the Lord's Supper. It's on Sundays that we sometimes have people baptized in the baptistry. And so we meet to worship, and we do it as a family. And Sundays truly are a foretaste of heaven. What will heaven be like? Don't let Hollywood fool you. Now, heaven is not floating around on large puffy white clouds with a harp and just having a wonderful time. No, heaven is a place of worship. Heaven is a place of adoring the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the one who came to earth to die for sinners. And so Sundays are a foretaste of heaven. Sundays ought to be a preparation for heaven. Sundays are a day of worship. Then we also saw that Sundays are a day of fellowship. The Lord's Day is not only a foretaste of heaven, but it is also a family reunion. Monday through Saturday, we scatter to our own homes. We scatter to our workplaces. We scatter to those activities which need attention. And Sundays, we gather together as a family. It is a family reunion. And all those who are born again, all those who have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, come together to fulfill the commands of Scripture. The commands of Scripture which are given to love one another, to admonish one another, to comfort one another, to exhort one another, to pray for one another, and to bear one another's burdens. And God wants us to fulfill these commands in the context of the local church. And you may meet people who say, well, my worship is on a boat at Big Bear when I'm fishing with my friends. That's how I encourage my brothers. I encourage them to try to outfish me. And that's my exhortation. Well, we see in God's Word that the apostle wrote to churches. The apostle wrote to Christians who were gathering, Christians who were covenanted together. So we fulfill these commands in the context of the local church. And that's why church membership is so important, because it gives accountability. And so we know who is a part of the church family. We do love and admonish and comfort, exhort, pray, and bear one another's burdens for all believers, for all brothers and sisters in Christ. But we do it in particular in the context of the local church through the church membership. So we meet to worship, we meet to fellowship, and we meet because it refreshes our bodies and our souls. God gave us this day to focus our hearts and minds upon Him. And God knows our need for spiritual refreshment. He knows that we are prone to overwork. He knows that the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. So God in His grace has given us this day to stop, examine ourselves, to be instructed in the ways of God, to pray and to be encouraged, and yes, even to take a nice nap. God has given us sleep as a gift, and so I don't think it's sinful to snooze on a Sunday afternoon. Actually, I think it is a spiritual activity. You need that rest. And again, just as long as you do it after the sermon, not during the sermon, please. So I want to unite the importance of the Lord's Day, the origin of the Lord's Day, the purpose of the Lord's Day, with the subject of church attendance. So if I could add a third and final point to this message of this two-part series, I would title it, The Importance of Church Attendance. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, our text this morning says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The author of Hebrews is exhorting Christians to remain faithful in assembling on the Lord's Day. He is exhorting them to remain faithful because the manner of some is to forsake the assembly of themselves together. The manner of some is to disregard the gathering of the church. The manner of some is to ignore the reasons why God has given us the church. So the author of Hebrews knows that such a custom is detrimental to one's spiritual well-being. And so he is, in a sense, sounding the alarm to these Christians, not wanting other brothers and sisters in Christ to forsake their spiritual duties and to damage their walk with God. And if ever there was a day in which Christians need to be reminded of the words of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, surely it is our day. Our day in which sometimes it's a decision on Saturday night, which one spouse says to the other, honey, are we going to church tomorrow or are we not? In which children look to their parents and say, is tomorrow a church day or is tomorrow sports day? So we need to be reminded of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And we need to be reminded of the importance of church attendance. Some of you may be wondering this morning, why does this church have various church services? It seems a little fanatical. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, four services a week. Why? Why, when the tradition of churches in our community is just to have a Sunday morning service at 11 o'clock and call it good for the rest of the week, why does Calvary Baptist Church have all these services? Why not just one? And why is it important to strive to be in all services? Well, to answer that question, I want to give you five main reasons why we encourage others and why I am encouraging you this morning to be faithful in attending church services. Number one, you should strive to be at every service because it may be the means of your salvation. It may be the means of your salvation. And I can hear somebody say, you mean not everybody who comes to church is a Christian? That's right, you've heard the quote, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. And sometimes we're prone to think, well, everybody who goes to the church is a Christian. That's not certainly so. There are many people who come to church, and they come to church because that's what they've always do. They were drug babies. And they were drugged by their parents to church from a young age. And that's always how it's happened. And so because of tradition, they're always here on Sunday mornings, and that's why they come. And yet they may not know the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel. And so one reason why I encourage others to be faithful to church services is because it might be the means of their personal salvation. Unbelievers walk through these doors and sit in these pews every week. And I'm sure if some way we could tell who was a Christian and who was not, we would find many in our congregation, even this morning, who do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they might have an intellectual belief that God exists, and they might believe the moral things of the Bible. They might like the nice moral atmosphere that the church provides, but their heart has never been changed. And their life's course has never been altered. And so we need to stay faithful to church attendance, and we need to encourage others to come to church because it may be the means whereby others come to be born again. And God has ordained that individuals come to a saving knowledge of Christ through His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul tells Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which hast made thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Paul says it is through the Scriptures, through the Word of God. That was the vehicle that brought you to Christ. And Paul continues Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So we see the emphasis, the importance of the preached Word of God, because it is the means of the salvation of others. Why should you attend church? Number one, because it may be the means of your salvation. Number two, because it is the primary means of sanctification. If you would, look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. We have the Apostle Paul writing here to the church in Ephesus, to the Christians here. And he tells us why God has given leaders in the church. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God gave pastors and teachers to the church for the perfecting, for the maturing of the saints, and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So it's important that we are here when we have services, because it is the primary means of your sanctification. You need the preaching and teaching of the Word of God so you can grow in your understanding of God's Word. And in your growing of understanding God's Word, you will grow in your understanding of who God is. The Apostle Paul says, I don't want you to be spiritual, immature children. I don't want you to be tossed to and fro upon the waters of false doctrine and compromise. I want you to be solid. I want you to be stable spiritually. And you can only be stable spiritually if you faithfully attend the services and are fed. So the Word of God convicts us. We go to church and we think that the preacher is just being mean, but it's the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and the Word of God piercing our heart, and the Word of God also comforting us, the Word of God encouraging us, the Word of God strengthening us. And how many times we've wakened on a Sunday morning, the flesh saying, I just want to stay home. I don't want to go to church today. And we go to church, and what happens? Our soul is encouraged. The preacher preached on exactly what we needed to hear. And we have life and energy and zeal to go through another week. And God has orchestrated that it be that way. God has given us this day so that we can press forward, so that we can continue to walk the walk of faith. Now, there are two warnings under this point. There's a warning, number one, to parents. Parents do a great disservice to their children when they place a greater emphasis on other activities rather than worshiping and serving the Lord. When the Lord's Day becomes a day of sports, and shopping, and activities, and television, we do our children a great disservice. And we are teaching them by our actions that the Lord's people, the Lord's church, the Lord's word is not important. When we go on vacation and we neglect searching for a church to fellowship with, and we are doing a great disservice to our children. I'm so thankful for a father who placed emphasis on the Lord's Day. And there was never a time in his mind where he was thinking on Saturday, I'm not sure if I'll go tomorrow or if I'll watch the sports game. Now I'll go to church and watch the sports game after. I'll TiVo it in 2016. We can TiVo. But I'm going to church. It's going to be important. And my sister and I learned from that, by his example. And parents, we need to be careful. And we need to set the example for our children that this is a place of importance and this is a day of importance. There's also another warning, and there's a warning to those who serve. There are many who come to church, but they only come to church when they teach a class or serve in a nursery or do some other ministry activity. We need to be warned of this. When one only gives and does not receive, they will eventually become spiritually anemic. And we spoke about that a couple months ago. We spoke of the truth of spiritual burnout. When one comes to church and they're just constantly serving and serving and serving and serving and doing and doing, and we appreciate that, there comes a time where they just break. The rubber band is stretched, and it breaks. And we need to be careful as a church. We need to prevent this from happening. It's the illustration of being on an airplane. And the stewardess says, if there's a loss in cabin pressure, take the oxygen mask and place it over your own nose before assisting others. Why? Because you cannot help others properly if you are not being helped yourself. So we need to remember that truth to make sure that we are being fed, that we are being encouraged, that we are in the services so that we do not become a spiritual burnout. And our church traditionally has always held to those who are serving in any sort of ministry through the church should faithfully attend at least 2 services in the week, 2 out of the 4. And I think that's a great expectation. The Constitution reads, every member of the church is expected to attend its meetings, to work for its upbuilding, to guard its good name in the community, to contribute regularly and according to his ability for the expense of the church. And so if you're here almost on spiritual burnout and you're faithfully serving, please come. Let me know. And we don't want that to happen to you. We will find others to replace you. And we will cut back if need to, because the Lord's Day, the church, should be a means of your sanctification, not a means of your burnout. So why do we meet on this day? Why is it important to come to church? Because it may be the means of your salvation, because it is a means of your sanctification, that word sanctification meaning your growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 3, you need to be faithful to the church services so you can become acquainted with the church family. We need to understand that the church is the people, not the building. This is not Calvary Baptist Church. You who are members are Calvary Baptist Church. And so we need to come to services to be acquainted with one another. Those who are strangers to the services are strangers to the church. And it is always a sad thing when individuals have been members of the church for years, yet do not have a clue who each other are. Those who just come for Sunday school and then leave, or those who just come for the main service and then leave, and they never know each other. Now, I can see how that can happen in a mega church, in a church with thousands bursting at the seams. But in a church our size, I don't think there's any reason why we should not know one another. And there's always, it's inevitable. I've done it myself. Hello, are you visiting here this morning for the first time? No, actually, I've been a member for 40 years. Have you done that? I've done that. It's embarrassing. And sometimes there are health problems. Sometimes there are other circumstances going on. But that ought not to be if they are faithful. It should encourage us also to be faithful, to get out of our comfort zones, and also to get to know our church family. And what is the purpose of church membership? Is it only to have the privilege to vote? Is it only to serve in a choir or to serve in a ministry? Is it uniting with the church family, knowing one another, encouraging one another, rejoicing when one is baptized, rejoicing when a family joins the church, weeping with those who weep, rejoicing with those who rejoice? This is what church membership is all about. So you need to be faithful because it's a means whereby you can know the church family. Number four, you need to be faithful to services so that you can become acquainted with the direction of the church. And through the church services, decisions are made. The pastor preaches, and through the preaching, the pastor is giving the vision or the direction of the church. And through the preaching, the pastor preaches on various topics of the Scriptures. For instance, there is usually a gospel emphasis on Sunday mornings. Sunday nights, we're going through the book of James. We've just finished a series on trials. Wednesday nights, we're talking about God's Word from Psalm 119. And so those who only come for one service may think, man, the pastor is just really echoing to himself week after week after week after week. Well, if they come only on Wednesday nights, it will seem that that's what I'm only preaching on. But the pastor is preaching on various subjects, and we become acquainted with the whole Word of God when we are faithful. And sometimes there are decisions made, and there are not only decisions made, there are things that are spoken of things happening in the church, and you need to be faithful so you do not miss out. So you're not wondering, since when did we have this? Since when did we decide on this? When is the anniversary Sunday again? Remind me. You need to be here so you can be acquainted with the direction of the church. I need to conclude. Number five, why should I be faithful to the church services? Well, let me give you the simple answer. Because God commands it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of such is. God commands it, therefore we should submit to it. God does not command it because He's a tyrant seeking His people to be miserable. No, God commands it because He knows it is the best for His children. He knows that it will help their walk with Him. Christ died for the church. Ephesians tells us this, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Christ died for the church. So we must love the church. We must have a heart that loves gathering together as a church. And if you don't have that heart of love, you need to pray for it. Lord, show me the importance of the Lord's Day. Show me the importance of gathering together. Show me the reasons why I need to be at the services. And I want to challenge all those who are here with the anniversary Sunday coming up. I want to challenge you to be here next week. I want to challenge you to be here and to support our evangelist, Sam Wood. I want to challenge you to strive to be at all services. And again, I know that there are sometimes work schedules that conflict. And I'm understanding of that, but if there is nothing hindering you from being here, I want to challenge you to be here Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and I want you to test God. Prove Him. See if you won't receive a blessing. Strive to be faithful. Come to the services and see if your soul is not encouraged. I think it will. And I think our church will benefit from it. I think we will be strengthened by it. And so I want to encourage you, church family, to strive to be faithful. When a church member is gone, we miss them. We're looking at their pew that they purchased 20 years ago that they sit in every week, the same spot. And we're wondering, where are they? No, it helps the pastor. All right, no, so-and-so sits there, where are they? Now, don't switch on me next week because that'll throw me off. But we do look and we wonder and we want you here. And there is something, isn't there, when everybody's here, when the auditorium is full and we sing, "It is well with my soul." There's something about a full auditorium singing, "Great is thy faithfulness." There's something about a Sunday evening service in which I call the family service, and it's family time around God's Word. There's something about filling the auditorium and the spirits of God's people awakening and reviving. And there is the opposite when only 30, 35, 40 people come. And you can tell a difference in the spirit of that service. So come, be involved. Now, some of you, traditionally, it's just been one service a week. And I understand that you haven't been taught. There hasn't been an expectation. And I do not want to pressure you. I'm not going to knock on your door every week and say, "Hey, you missed this service," and drag you to church. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to manipulate you and strive to drag you here by your shirt. That's not my purpose. But I want to show you the reasons why we have multiple services, the reasons why it is important. I can remember as a new Christian in Everett, Washington, my first year of community college, going to school, working in the afternoons. And I can remember Wednesday evenings, getting off at 6 o'clock, church at 7 o'clock. The church was about 2 miles away. And there were times I had car troubles, and I said, "How am I going to get there?" And I walked 2 miles in the snow, up and downhill. No, I didn't walk up. There was no snow. There was rain. But I went in church with my blue jeans and t-shirt, my work uniform. And nobody said a thing. Pastor didn't care. He was just happy that I was there. And I'll tell you what, I was helped by that. So don't worry. "Well, I'm getting off work. I don't have a tie." I'm not going to crucify you for not having a tie. "Well, I'll be rushing. I'll be 5-10 minutes late." Come 5-10 minutes late. Receive the Word of God. Come to be a blessing. Come to worship the Lord. Think about these truths. Go home. Talk with your spouse about these truths. Come and be committed to the church family and what God is doing here at Calvary Baptist Church. And remember that Sundays are called the Lord's Day. It is not called the Lord's Hour. It is not called the Lord's Morning. It is called the Lord's Day. It should be a day given to Him. And we need more of the Bible, not less of the Bible. That's why we have many services, because we're in the Bible, searching it out. We want to grow in our knowledge of the Scriptures, grow in our knowledge of God. We want to be equipped in evangelizing this lost world. And so we have more services so we can be prepared. I'll end there this morning.